And you know, there is two altars that Gideon built there. And we can just briefly comment and say, you know, the first altar we brought Gideon to the place where he was a worshiper. It was the altar of worship. And the second altar, when he cut down Baal and the grove and established an altar unto the Lord, that's the altar of testimony. And we need both in our Christian lives. We need that altar of worship, and we need that altar of testimony. And that's what balances our testimony here in the world. The world can see who we stand for. That's the altar of testimony. The altar of worship, that's when we're in the Lord's presence, giving unto Him that which is rightfully deserving to Him only.
And you could summarize that, as Peter put it, that's a holy priesthood and a royal priesthood. That is the two connection of the altar. The holy priesthood was in that wine press. Nobody have seen anything, but there he was worshiping and offering to God. And then there is an altar of a testimony that was on a high place, so everybody could see. And look at the order of them. It was first that he built an altar to worship the Lord. And then he was able to go out and to build an altar as a sign of a testimony to those who are around him. I was really disappointed this morning. There was a prayer meeting. How many younger brothers prayed this morning? Talking about priests. I was really disappointed. Talked about Gideon, threshing wheat, building an altar. How many of you prayed this morning, young brothers? Not good.
Would we want to say something in verse 26 about the burnt offering here as we go on? I love the thought that you brought up, Matt, that it was in this place of public testimony that the altar or the grove is used. You see, it was testimony for the God that was doing this great work. And it was there for men to see everywhere. Now, they'll see it soon enough, but before we get to that, it's a wonderful thing to see on this public testimony what the offering was. Said yesterday, didn't we, that this was the burnt offering? What does that mean? Maybe a younger brother can help us with understanding. What is the significance of the burnt offering? Is anyone able to give us a little light, give us a little help in what this means? Joey? Well, there's one back there.
It symbolizes Christ.
It symbolizes Christ, okay. It symbolizes sacrifice. Mm-hmm. A little more detail.
In the book of Leviticus, does it come first in the offerings, or does it come last?
First.
Say that loudly, Joe.
First.
It's first, and why do we think it comes first?
It was completely for God.
Completely for God.
Absolutely.
So we have, it speaks of Christ. It's the first offering mentioned in the book of Leviticus. And you said it's
completely for God.
Completely for God. Someone help us tie those three things together with a little more detail.
Because
While we're thinking of the detail, I want to suggest that in Leviticus, it's a wonderful thing to see that if one was going to bring a burnt offering, he didn't just bring what he wanted to. He was told what he would bring, wasn't he? That if there was to be an offering, that the Lord would tell them all of the detail of it, because it spoke of Christ, doesn't it? It is the pointing, it's the setting forth of the Lord Jesus as the one that was holy here for his God. I think we touched yesterday, too, on the fact that before there is service for the Lord, there is first worship. There is a heart that is in His presence at peace before ever there is the dealing with the enemies or the cutting down of the grove or the knocking down of the altar of Baal. There was first the appropriation of Christ, wasn't there?
That gives strength to go out and do what you do. If you are not really strong enough, those altars were big. You're not going to be able to knock them down. Those trees were huge trees. You're not going to be able to cut them down if you are not strong. The enemy and the obstacle that he puts in our life, they're not just little something. They are humongous. But when you are fed by the wheat, when you are strengthened in the presence of the Lord, you're going to go out and there will be no big giants. They might be giants, but you know what Caleb said? They're like, we'll eat them up. They're our bread. Hmm. Yeah, everybody saw them as big. William probably thought, what are you asking me to do? My father built that altar. You wanted me to go and knock it down? I mean, I can't do that. How am I going to do? How could I go and do something like that? The whole city going to know about it? I can't do something like. I mean, Gideon went. Yes, he went by night, but you know what? He influenced others with him. There were 10. All what we heard so far till verse 25 was one man, Gideon, in the presence of the Lord. But now he's being influenced. He's able to influence others. And then it comes, and the first thing, as Tony was trying to get us into, is the burnt offering. Okay? It's God's portion. Mm-hmm. It's God's portion. It's accepted. It's the acceptable thing. It's a voluntarily offering. In the book of Leviticus, you don't have to, but you love to. And here he is saying, if going to be any victory, it's going to be based on the acceptance of the person and the work of the Lord Jesus. If we're going to have any victory, it's not going to be because, well, I am good or I'm smart or anything. It's going to be because God have accepted the work of the Lord Jesus. And I put my hand on that sacrifice and said, God, I agree with you. I am in fellowship with you in regard to Christ. Then I will be able to go out, knock down altars, cut down trees, and influence others and bring victory to the whole nation.
I like what you said, Uncle Lemo, about despite the fact that Gideon was scared, what did he do? He went and he fellowshiped. He got other believers with him. And I think often when you're afraid of something, the tendency is not to do it. If you can find a way out of it. What Gideon did was, okay, I'm afraid. I'm going to get some fellowship. I'm going to get someone to help me. And I'm going to do it anyway. Especially in a situation where it's his family.
Close to home.
Who did he choose above his family? He chose the Lord's people above his family. And I think that's a very practical lesson.
And you were saying he did it in the strength of the Lord. And in Leviticus 7, verse 8, you read that the priest would put on the skin. And that's Gideon here putting on the Lord Jesus, putting on Christ, and everything he's doing, as we said in the last Bible study, is through the power of the Lord, because he's in the image of the Lord now with the skin of the offering.